Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning the Ilui Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Zecher Nishmas, Yom Hasham Shavuliya, and the merit of our Torah. So what I said before I turned this on is that I'm tired, and then I said you're not really supposed to say you're tired, but it's a great verse, so I wanted to share it once the recording was on for everybody as well. Dov Lipman writes that he had his aha moment of when he moved after he made Aliyah to Israel, and he realized like this was the place to be. When towards the beginning of his Aliyah journey, he got into a cab one day, and he was talking to the driver, and how are you? And he said, Ani ayef, I'm tired. And the driver, who Rabbi Dov Lipman writes, did not look religious at all. He had like long hair and tattoos and earrings. Said to him, you should not say, I'm tired. You should say, I need a nap. A Jew should not say he's tired. Because two times in the Torah, it uses the verb ayef for tired, and both times are associated with negative. One time is when Esav comes home from the field hunting, and he says, pour some of that red stuff into me because I am tired. And the other time, it's very famous. As soon as I say the psukim, you're all going to know. Amalek. We read it every year, Parsha Zachar. By Amalek, it's from Devarim Perek Chaf Hei. And the pasuk says, "Asher karcha b'derech va'ata ayef v'yagei v'lo yarei elokim." And so the cabbie said to Rabbi Dov Lipman, "You should not say you're tired." One time it's associated with Esav, and one time it's associated with Amalek. You should say, "It's been a long day. I need a rest." So I do have it in mind when I say I'm tired, because l'maisa, sometimes we are tired. Why is my chair? Okay, l'maisa, sometimes we are tired, but it's better to have in mind. It's a beautiful story. Because it also is Mikam Chayisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we're on page one. With that, it's been a long day. Page 127. Right. 127 of the second sefer, please. Likewise, last time we spoke about Dvarim Hayotzim Halev, Nechnasim El Halev, and we noted that it's your own heart. The words that come from your heart have to go into your own heart, never mind everybody else's heart. Likewise, when a person prays and his words come from the heart. So I'm like on the second paragraph, good evening. Second paragraph on page 127, please. When a person prays, and just, we read this last time, and his words come from the heart, those words will return to his own heart. His emunah will be strengthened through the force of tefillah. And we quoted David Melch says in Tehillim, Ha'amanti ki adaber. I believe because I've spoken. When we speak in tefillah, it increases our own emunah. If a person is working on acquiring emunah in hashgacha pratis, that God is mashgiach everything in your life, there is divine intervention for every moment of life, and he prays for this. The tefillah itself will instill this emunah in him more deeply. So it's not a given. You have to work on acquiring emunah in hashgacha. And part of working on it is ezehi avodah she believe havei omer zoi tefillah. Ladies, it's this week's parasha. It's parak yir aleph. Of Devarim, I believe, Pasuk Yod Dalet, or Yod Gimel. Yod Gimel. Yod Aleph Yod Gimel, it's what we call the Vahaya, U'la'avda b'chol avavchem u'v'chol nafshechem, to serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Rashi there quotes the Gemara Mesachas Tainis 2a, right in the beginning, and the Gemara tells you that what is Avodah Shehi B'Lev? That is Tefillah. So what does it mean? Why is it called? So the Gemara says, L'fisha Tefillah Krui Avodah. So what are you saying? The Tefillah is hard work. It's not called taking a vacation. It's not called taking a nap. It's not called a walk in the park. Avodah is tefillah. That's what the Gemara says on this week's parasha. And it is very hard work. If one really wants his tefillah to accomplish something, he must be able to receive the words himself. So we take it for granted that we open the siddur and the words flow so easily, and it's just something that we do every day. It's something that we need to work on and strengthen all the time. This can be understood through the example we saw above. A person enters the store. He asks for a bottle of soda, bottom of page 127. When the storekeeper hands it to him, he puts back his hand. We've discussed this mashal. The bottle falls to the ground. Tefillah is the hand that Hashem gave you to receive his bounty. And it's something that I spoke about earlier in one of my shiurim today. Not only do we have u'avdu b'chol avavchem u'v'chol nafshchem, but the reward will be v'nesati matar artzchem b'ito. We say these words every single day. Yoro u'malkosh. I'll put rain in its time, early rain and late rain. You will gather in the produce. If we don't listen to Hashem, then what's the punishment? Batsar es ha-shamayim, the heavens will be stopped up and there won't be any produce given. So interestingly, we have the juxtaposition of ula avda b'chol avavchem, to serve God with all your heart. The Gemara says, havei omer zohi tefila, she'tefila kruei avoda. And then the next thing you know is we're talking about rain in its time. The reward for proper service is rain. What's fascinating about this, ladies, is the first time we see the introduction of tefila into our world is, who remembers? Maybe we spoke about it before in this class. I can't hear.
Wasn't it the first with Asna Chava, when they were doubting about, they were doubting after the sin, after the Orizayah, no?
They didn't daven after the sin. That has something to do with Adam, you're right. So it's before Isha was even created. It's before Adam, in a sense, was even created. It's Bereishis 2:5. After Maisa Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei, Bereishis, V'chol Esav Asad Ater Mier Ba'aretz, V'chol Siach Asad Ater Mier Ba'aretz, V'chol Esav Asad Ater Yitzmach, Ki Lohim Tir Hashem Elohim Al Ha'aretz. There is nothing sprouting because God did not yet give rain. The Adam ayin la'avodas Adama. So there's three stages to this pasuk. The first pasuk tells you nothing sprouted. The next pasuk tells you God had not give rain, and the third pasuk tells you there was no man to work the field. So Rashi says there, what does the Adam ayin la'avodas Adama have to do with the beginning of the pesukim? The beginning of the pesukim tell me everything was created by Shreishus and maybe Bereishis, but nothing was sprouting. You could plant a beautiful garden. Hashem planted a beautiful garden. But if you don't water the garden, what's going to happen? The beautiful garden you planted is going to die. It's very hot and it needs water. So Hashem planted kaviyachal, everything in Paragav. So how come nothing's growing? Kilohim tir Hashem Elohim ha'aretz. There was no rain. Why was there no rain? So the next part of the pasuk tells you, there's no man to work the ground. So who remembers what Rashi says there? Ladies, who remembers what Rashi says there? There is no man ki Adam ayin la avod as Adama. So Rashi says there was no one to recognize tovatan shel geshamim. There was no one to recognize the need for rain, the goodness of rain. Adam came along, vihit palal alayhem, and he davened for rain, and rain came down. So it's very interesting that in the second paragraph, what we call the second paragraph of Shema, which we say every single day, we also have the juxtaposition of tefilul avda b'chol bavchem on the one hand, and on the other hand, v'nasati matar artzchem b'ito yoro malkosh v'safta l'ganecha. On the other hand, we have the juxtaposition of tefilah with rain. Rain indicates, we talk about gishmei bracha, all the shefa of the ribono shel olam that comes down. Nothing comes down to this world with out tefillah. Tefillah is the hand Hashem gave us to receive His bounty. And if you want to receive water, and if you want to receive rain, and if you want to receive anything else, we need to daven for that. Who teaches us? Adam Arishon. Hashem couldn't have just made it rain and everything would have grown. He had to wait. Avka, Hashem doesn't have to wait for anybody. Hashem had to wait for Adam to come along and say, you know, this garden's gorgeous, but everything's going to wither and die. Please, God, help it grow. He davened, and then the rain came down. So really, it teaches us an essential component here, and that is, we're talking so much about tefillah, that tefillah is not for the Ribono Shel Olam, kaviyachal. It's like impossible to say that God needs my prayer, one significant, tiny, what's the word, infinitesimal?
Infinitesimal, I think.
Infina.
T-E, it's like...
Infinitesimal?
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you, human being, to pray, but really tefillah is for us. There was no one to recognize, says Rashi, Tovatan Shel Geshamim. Lahakir b'Tovatan Shel Geshamim. Tefillah helps us recognize the bounty, recognize the blessing, recognize what the Ribono Shel Olam is giving to us. Once we recognize it, we thank Him for it, we daven for more, then it comes down. And tefillah, therefore, is the hand Hashem gave us to receive the bounty. We request many things from Hashem. V'eschanan el Hashem ba'esa hi leimor. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want more than to go into Eretz Yisrael? This week's Parsha Perachas, he describes Eretz Yisrael so beautifully. It's one of my favorite prakim in the Kol Torah Kula, just for the poetry and the language and the way that Moshe Rabbeinu describes the bounty and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. He wanted so badly to go into Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the Gemara tells us, not the Gemara, Chazal, I'm not sure if it's a Medrash, tells the Veschanan, the equivalent of Veschanan, you know this. What's the Gematria of Veschanan? I can't hear. Everyone's very quiet tonight. 515. The Gematria of Veschanan is 515. Moshe davened 515 times to go into Eretz Yisrael. We request many things from Hashem. Ebrana ve'aretz ha'aretz ha'tova. He wanted to go in. He started with praise. First he praised Ribbono Shel Olam, and then he said, could I please go in? And he asked, 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 and he asked. So the next paragraph, by the way, just because I brought up Moshe Rabbeinu now, don't take the next comments to be related to Moshe, because the next question is, why aren't our requests always answered the way they would like we would like them to be? So don't derive anything from what I said about Moshe to the answer that the Mechaber is about to give. It does not apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, stop, you're not going in. Stop asking me. Don't talk. Al tosef dabar or bidavar hazeh. Don't talk about this anymore. But this is different. This isn't for Moshe, for us. One of the reasons is we have not made our tefillah into the proper receptacle. There's a caveat. Sometimes there's just din. And there's just a gezerah. And we just don't understand. We can't, I don't think it's fair or valid to say every time that if we make the tefillah into the proper receptacle of emunah, it will always be answered in the way we hope. And if we're deficient, it means we're not answered. I think there's a concept of tzaddik v'ra'lo. Not I think. There is a concept of tzaddik v'ra'lo. Somebody that we were davening for a very long time, was originally from Woodmere, was Niftaris this morning. Did you hear Shana Alka Bas Atol Dina? Yeah, Baruch Dayan MS. Allah Shalom should be an advocate of Tova for a family. Your children were, maybe now they're 10, 9, 6, and 3, and they would say, whatever. I know someone who's connected to the family, Machatenista, when's mommy coming home and will mommy feel better? I think that we have to be careful with the following paragraph, because sometimes we're deficient in our emunah and we haven't made tefillah into a proper receptacle. That's true. But sometimes there's a gzeirah. Yotam Ovadia was stabbed to death last Thursday night in the settlement of Adam. His children are 2 years old, 2.5, and 7 months old. So we just have to be careful with the following paragraph, that we don't always have our tefillos answered in the way we daven and the way we hope. It does not always mean we are deficient in emunah. It can also mean that there's a gzeirah, gzeirahim lefanai kabluhum. We're going to read the Asar Hugay Malchus on Yom Kippur. Okay, so just keep that in mind before we look at this. One of the reasons our tefillos are not answered is that we have not made our tefillah into the proper receptacle. If a person is receiving emunah through his tefillah, then the tefillah is a receptacle for emunah. He can receive all he needs, livelihood, health, clothing. But if tefillah is only for one detail, and one seeks only shoes or livelihood, he does not form a vessel. It's not proper tefillah. So again, that's why I said, sometimes we are deficient in our prayers, and we're coming up to Allah, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, Nisra, Gzeira, and it's certainly an area that we all require strengthening. The Gemara says that. We're going to start saying Kapitoch of Zayin of Tehillim, and we finish Kapitoch with Rosh Chodesh Allah. I can't believe where we are in the year. And with Kapitoch of Zayin, we end with Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'yame Tzibach of Kaveh El Hashem. And the Gemara says that pasuk is proof that Tefillah needs strengthening. So everyone needs strengthening in Tefillah. But I just don't, it doesn't sit so well to say that always when our tefillahs are not answered, it means that there's a deficiency in emunah. It does also mean that there's a condition in this terrible world. You know, someone's going through a very hard time right now. Very hard time. Said to me, but if Hashem loves us, why does he make it like this? Why don't the rabbis talk about it? So I said, because there's no answer. Because we live in a difficult world, and the world has pain, and the world is not an easy place to be in. Somebody, a close friend of mine, was at Ben Braffman's 70th birthday party 2 weeks ago. It was a gathering of some close friends, and his son, a rabbi from Israel, put out a booklet, 70 sayings on the occasion. You know what I'm talking about? You saw it? Oh, on the occasion of his 70th birthday. So one of his sayings is that the world is an ocean of tsaros with islands of simcha. The key is to grab onto the islands of simcha and try and stay there as much as possible. Okay, so it's true. Sometimes we're deficient, and sometimes we lack emunah, and sometimes we lack emunah and hashgacha pradis, and therefore we don't have the proper vehicle to accept the bounty. It's true. But sometimes it's something else. It's something of a machshava of the Ribono Shel Olam, and it's a divine plan. Rabbos machshavos v'leivish v'atzas Hashem hisakum, and we just cannot understand. And of course, as ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, we accept that there are things that we cannot understand. If we don't form a vessel, it's not receiving tefillah. So regarding the last thing I just read, does anyone have questions or comments? Okay. And regarding the last part we just read, if we don't form a vessel, you have nothing to receive the bounty. Okay. So I'm quoting Rav Elimelech Biderman from Devarim this past year. The Gemara states, interestingly, the thing we spoke about last week was instilling tefillah and emunah within ourselves. Remember we spoke about it leaves your heart, it should go into whose heart? Your very own heart. So the Gemara states in Maseches Bava Basra, Kol sheyesh chola betoch beiso, anyone who is a chola in his house, yelech etzal chacham, he should go to a wise person, v'yilmad, and he should learn, v'yivakish alav rachamim. Someone who has rachman, it's on a sick person in his house, should go to a chacham, so the chacham should pray for him and request mercy. So Rabbi Biderman says, we mustn't forget that one shouldn't solely rely on the chacham, the lashon of the Gemara, to pray for him. He should also pray. He too has the power of tefillah. Someone went to a certain Rebbe and he wanted the Rebbe to daven for him. And the Rebbe said to him, did you daven? Rebbe Yechiel Gustinin Zatzal. Did you daven? So the man says, I didn't daven, but I want you to daven. Because the man said, the Gemara says, anyone who is a sick person in their house should go to the Chacham and he should daven. So the Rebbe says, no, that's not what the Gemara means. Kol sheyesh chola besoch beso, but substitute the word chola for any nisayin that you're going through. We should never know from such things. Any nisayin a person has. Anyone who is a sick person in his house, anyone going through a nisayin, yei leich eitzel chacham, he should go to the wise person and ask the chacham to daven. But in addition, ve'yivakesh alav rachamim, that's referring to the person himself. The person himself should not forget your own power of prayer. You have to pray for yourself. The Meiri says, the Gemara states clearly, each person should pray for himself. One should always be confident that a proper tefillah annuls gezeirus. And therefore, someone who has a trouble should go to the Chacham to learn the path of prayer. Listen again to Lashon of Gemara. Yelech etzel Chacham v'yilmad. He should learn. What should he learn? How to pray. And then, v'yivakesh alav rachamim, he should daven for himself. And I've seen the next vignette he tells over regarding the Kotzker before. And it's very good. Someone went to the Kotzker and he told him all of his problems. X, Y, Z, A, B, C, this is all his problem. So the Kotzker Rebbe said to him, so did you daven? So the man said, believe me, I have so many problems, I'm not able to daven. So the Kotzker said, that's your first problem, and that's your greatest problem. Why did you tell me your other problems before this one? You should have first begun with your greatest problem. Your greatest problem is you're not able to daven. And then we can work on the other things. So what did the Kotzker say? You come here, you say you have all these problems, but then I ask you if you daven, and you say, I have so many problems, I can't even daven. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, that's your greatest problem. The fact that you can't daven. And it's true that sometimes we feel in difficult straits in life, but in the same piece, in Devarim, Valley Melech Biderman brings down, or maybe it's Rav Shem Shem Pinchas and Sha'ar B'Tfilah actually, I think it's Rav Pinchas, that a person can daven even without words. That sometimes, now, please, I'm not talking about discharging your halachic obligation, which is, by the way, Elisheva, since you brought up of Sobolevsky's shir, remember? It was like last year or something on the importance of saying karbanos. So it happened, whatever. So I was in touch with, whatever. So since then, I say, someone told me you should at least say karban tamid. I grew up, I never knew anything about karbanos. I said to my daughter, do they teach you this in school?
No.
She
said, the first I heard.
Say it again.
This is the first I had heard that.
It was the first that you ever heard of it.
No, I also heard it. But it doesn't, not necessarily
carbon tamid,
but to say just at least one of the paragraphs.
So I'll tell you, who told me to say carbon tamid every day? Somehow I came to be in touch with her, whatever. Somehow I came to be in touch with her. I wonder if I still have Risa Rotman. Risa Rotman's husband, Howie, Rabbi Chil Rothman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed in the Hernuf massacre. Somehow I came to be in touch with her. I am not going to be able to find this now. Anyway, she emailed me saying that many years ago, one of her children in school told her that if you don't have time, at least you should say the Karban Tamid every day. It's surrounded by a Yehi Ratzon. There's a Yehi Ratzon before and a Yehi Ratzon after, and that is the equivalent of bringing the Karban Tamid. I don't think I'll be able to find.
What's the reason?
What's the reason women are obligated?
For the Karban Tamid.
he wasn't saying you were obligating Karbonos Micha. What I remember Rabbi Salofsky saying was that it's a nice thing because, you know, we're so divorced from the whole concept of the Beis HaMikdash, and, you know, when you, it's sort of like you read it and you, you know, the words are very easy, and it's kind of like a getting in touch with Karbonos.
Wait, Elishava, did Rabbi Salofsky say women are obligated in Karbonos?
No, he said women are obligated in Shacharis and Mincha. He did not say you're obligated for Karbonos, but he just say, he went through the whole davening and he was saying which things that you should say. And he said, you're not obligated to say Karbonos, but it's something that sort of gives you a window into, you know, like, otherwise we have nothing, we're not connected to that whole thing, and it makes you think about, you know, the Beis HaMikdash and the Mashiach, and like, it's just a good thing to do.
So I'm going to quote, I found her email in the meantime, Baruch Hashem. Okay, regarding, so this is from Mrs. Risa Rotman of Yerushalayim. Regarding saying Karbanos, years ago my daughter, when she was in 9th grade, which was about 10 years ago, taught me the Ikar passage, so I assume that her daughter learned this in school, the Ikar passage of Karbanos is Karban Tamid. My understanding was it represents the basic daily offering in the Beis HaMikdash, just as our tefillos do. During the year of visiting my husband, her husband was, if you didn't read the book, I recommend it, Tara and Amuna in Harnof. During the year of visiting my husband, I discussed with an Israeli neighbor this issue, this topic, who used to accompany me every week, I guess, to the hospital or the rehab. And she, this neighbor, agreed it's the most important one to say. The reason she gave is it represents the eternality of a Jew. We offer ourselves to Hashem in the daytime and during the nighttime, and that represents, the Karban Tamid is offered twice a day, morning and towards evening. This represents the Jew offering themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam in good times, the Hagi Baboker Chastacha, and in the evening, the Emunas Chabalelo. So it's an extra tefillah to say, but not overly impossible to add it in. So since she reached out to me, this was on January 31st, and since you said that, and then she reached out to me, so then I have been saying it. It doesn't take that long to add it in. And the idea, I mean, I don't say Al-Kabar. So for me, at this, I mean, I never said any of that before in my life. So I have started to say Karban Tamid. It's not impossible to add in, but we are really offering ourselves. And we've said many times in this class, what does Tamid mean? Who remembers? Shivisa Shamanegdi Samid.
Consistent.
Always. So you know so well that you forget the first one. Always. Hashem is before me always. And Hashem is before me consistently. So the Karban Tamid was something that was offered every day. We are supposed to have Hashem before ourselves always and consistently. Furthermore, Risa added in, this was in the name of her neighbor who shared this ha'ara with her on the way to visit her husband that year, that the Karban Tamid always also represents our emunah in all times. The morning offering, we could say, is the Hagi above Hastacha, and the evening offering, or towards the evening afternoon, is the emunas chabaleis. Keves, okay. It can accomplish anything if the tefillah is in order to fill a request, but does not instill in the person great emunah. The inner essence of tefillah is lacking. Okay, so it's all something there we all have to work on. Someone said something just now. Okay. Okay. The Gemara tells us of two almost identical episodes, similar in every way except their conclusion. Okay, I'm quoting from A Portrait of Prayer by Rabbi Abish. Beautiful sefer. It's not scholarly work. It's ha'aros and insights and stories regarding tefillah. It's very, very nice. I read through it. If you're interested in being mechazik and in the anime of tefillah, it's beautiful. Okay, the Gemara tells us of two almost identical episodes, similar in every way except for their conclusion. A pauper once came to, it's from Meseches Ksubos, came to Rabbi Nechemia and pleaded for some food to eat. What are you accustomed to eating? Rabbi Nechemia asked him. I usually eat fatty meat and aged wine. He was a pauper, remember? All I am having is lentils. Would you like to join me? Rabbi Nechemia invited. He motioned that the fellow should sit down. Having nothing else to eat, the pauper joined Rabbi Nechemia. Unfortunately, not long after the meal, the pauper, who was accustomed only to fine foods, does anyone remember the story? Died. What are you accustomed to eating? Expensive, wealthy, good food. He offered him lentils. He ate the lentils. He died. Then the Gemara tells another story. A pauper once came to Rava and asked for some food to eat. What are you accustomed to eating? Rava asked him. I usually eat fat hen and aged wine. Aren't you a little concerned? Your expensive taste is a hardship that supports you with tzedakah, said Rava, to which the pauper responded, am I eating what belongs to the community? I'm not a burden on the community. Am I receiving their money? I'm eating from what belongs to Hashem. As the pasuk says, Ein echol elecha yisabeu va'ata, no saying the hamis achlam be'ito. The pasuk does not say be'itam in their time, rather be'ito in his time. This teaches Hashem supplies each individual with his needs precisely at the proper time. So what was he saying? Don't tell me I'm a burden on the community. If Hashem wants to give me fat and foul and aged wine, then Hashem will give me fat and foul and aged wine. Before Rava could even reply, so the pauper in essence gave him rebuke. So before Rava could even reply, his sister, who he had not seen for 13 years, came by to visit as a present. She brought her brother, this is Gemara, this is not like a fairy tale. She bought her brother a fattened hen, and aged wine. Rava was astounded. How is it that my sister, who has not visited for 13 years, decides to come just now and bring a present, a fattened hen, and aged wine? It's obvious Hashem is providing the meal the pauper is accustomed to eating. He turned to the pauper and he said, I see I spoke too much when I criticized you. Come eat. While it could very well be that the community tzedakah fund might not have been able to supply the pauper, Hashem supplied him. So now Rabbi Abba says, why did the story with Rava and the pauper end differently? The sister shows up with fat and foul and aged wine, and so differently with Rabbi Nechemia and the pauper. Rabbi Nechemia offered him lentils, he ate lentils, and he died. Why? Perhaps the difference is in the words, Einei chol elecha yisabeu, the eyes of all look to you for hope. Einei chol. If one's eyes are looking to Hashem, I think that this is very relates very strongly to the part that we're learning now in our Sefer. If one's eyes are really looking to Hashem for sustenance, then Hashem will be no sin lahamas acham be'ito. It's like an if-then. If you look to Hashem as the source of your sustenance, then He will provide for you. However, at times, a person does not feel solely dependent on Hashem for sustenance, but he relies heavy on his own capabilities and prowess. It is therefore not his eyes looking to Hashem. So if he's not looking to Hashem, Hashem does not provide for him. So what does this remind me of? I'm not going to ask because you're all very quiet tonight. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay, are you with me?
Yes. I have a little trouble with this story.
Why?
Is it okay? Is it a proper hashgacha for this person who's a pauper to say it's okay for me to eat fattened hens and aged wine? It's not the community's burden that Hashem is providing for me. But like, I mean, we give tzedakah. We, you know, I don't know. I'm just having trouble.
Okay, so one second. He's going to actually address your question in a minute. Okay.
Because when people give tzedakah, they don't intend for it to be used for fattened hens and aged wine. It's
So you know what? One second, please. Excuse me. Could you repeat what you just said? When a person gives tzedakah,
it's to provide for the necessities.
Okay. So I want to tell you something. I have a friend. No, don't. I want to talk. I want to talk, please. I have a friend who collects money for people in the community who need money before the Yom Tov, before Pesach, before the Chagim, and through the Davis Memorial Fund, she collects the money. You're able to get it right off, and she gives us some before Yom Tov, and she collects $16,000. She's been doing this for a number of years. She'll be zchus l'tova for her and her family. And you know what she said to me? She gave me a whole different perspective. She said, people think tzedakah's just so they could put chicken on the table. She says, maybe the mother wants a luxury, I'm putting that in quotes, she should have a new outfit for Yontif. Who's to say that that's not a necessity so that the mother feels like an important person, so that she feels like a special person, so that she, now we're not talking, you don't have to go out and buy Gucci, and you don't have to go out and buy, I don't know, whatever all the labels are that people run after, but who's to determine what is necessity? Maybe for one person, what's necessity is not necessity for the other person. It's only up to your bonus room. Maybe she wants to feel like a mensch. Maybe she doesn't want to be wearing a dress that's 10 years old. Maybe that's embarrassing for her when she goes to show. Maybe for her, not, okay, I don't know, maybe she doesn't need, I don't know, whatever the labels are, but maybe it's important for her. My friend says exactly what you're saying. She collects for years for people, and she says, it bothers her, she says, when people say this is only so they could buy chicken, in other words, bare necessities, maybe it's a necessity for for the daughter in high school to not feel like an outcast, to have the same knapsack as everybody else, so there's no bullying, so she feels like a person. I'm just putting a different perspective, which came to me directly from my friend who is mamish involved in this inyan.
I hear that, but if we have limited stuck of funds, then, yeah, that's what I have. If we had all the money in the world, yes, everybody should feel like, you know, like a king, and everybody should feel very important.
No, but it's up to the person. Let's say that family gets $500 for the Yom Tovim. I don't know.
I think it says somewhere in Hilchos that if you have to support
them. Yes, a person, you have to support them according to the level from before they fell. So if they used to be driven through town on a horse and a carriage, then you still have to drive them through town on a horse and a carriage. So you get $1,000 for Yamim Tovim. So is it only to say you could only buy the basic food? Maybe she wants a roast for Yantif. So she feels like she's a beautiful Yantif table. Basar v'dagim. Just a different perspective. It's a different perspective. Who determines what's the necessity? For this pauper, that necessity, we bring it down to our level and our day. I'm telling you, my friend Mamash says this. She says, it really bothers me when people say, it's only for chicken.
It's a different perspective.
Wait, I can't see your mouth.
I'm not trying to sound, I actually work for not-for-profit, so I'm really not trying to sound like terrible when I say this, but I agree with you, it's a different perspective. I don't think it necessarily means the right perspective. This could be right also.
She doesn't think it's the
right. I'm saying I think it's all different perspectives. I don't think one is necessarily more right than the other. It depends on your perspective.
Meaning if the community has a certain amount of money, not that everyone's getting $500, they could spend how they want it, but we could give less, we can give fewer people because this one needs to have more expensive things.
No. What I'm saying is, let's say that family gets X amount of dollars.
But before there are limited resources. Let's say there's $20,000 for the whole
community.
Is it better to give more people fewer things?
That's up to the Rabbanim. One second. That's up to the Rabbanim to decide. That's up to the Tomchei Shabbos, whoever's in charge, to decide. Every shul usually has, many shuls have a rabbi's discretionary fund. That's up to him to decide. But we do have to understand, and Chani brought it up, we do have to understand that there is an inyan, and we see it in the Gemara, to support a person according to they were used to. Obviously, practically, we have to take in mind, we have X amount of funds, we have X amount of dollars. People do need to buy food. So I'm sure in this case, the girl is not buying a new outfit at the expense of her children having food in their mouth. But who am I to say that another frum woman can never go and have a new oven because she can't afford eggs and chicken? She wants to feel like a person. The Rambam writes that before Yom Tov, it's the mitzvah the husband should buy the wife jewelry and the children candies. Candies are a luxury. Why does Tomchei Shabbos? My daughter did Tomchei packing this year in Tag. That was her chesed. They have to do a certain amount of hours. She did things out of school also, but in school. Why do they put candy in the boxes? Excuse me, why do you put candy? It's not a necessity. The child doesn't need candy. There's X amount of funds. Why do I have to put in, I don't know, Mike and Ike's and Sarah sticks? They need milk, they need eggs, they need chicken, they need bread, they need potatoes, they need bananas, they need tomatoes. I decided they shouldn't get that. It's just you're right, it's a different perspective. We need to have a different perspective, and the Gemara brings that out. So it's also Simcha Shabbos for the mother to have something that makes her feel special.
I'm the one that said that you're supposed to support them according to
that what?
Not everybody was used to, you know, some people.
Maybe this man was a very wealthy man, this poor.
Right, no, I get that.
Yes.
But no, maybe. Not everybody was.
I don't know.
Some people. One second, ladies.
I'll wait.
Yes, Avigara.
No, maybe also it might not be proper in. From a klal perspective, you're supposed to give tzedakah that to the style that a person is accustomed to. But maybe for the pauper, maybe that's not a proper thing on his.
You're saying there's two different points here. There's one, my obligation, and two, his demand, so to speak. Okay. What I was going to say, I think that it's helpful for all of us to hear two sides of the coin, and it's a lot of food for thought. The pun is intended. Okay? It's food for thought, and the pun is intended. Because in that case, Rav Nechemiah was clearly wrong. So what is the Gemara even trying to teach us, let's say? Maybe I could say it like that. What's the lesson to me? I have to understand that people have to be treated with dignity. And I think the Tomchei Shabbos example of candy is actually a very good example. Because those children don't need candy.
So embarrassed that he died from shame.
Okay.
Right, but if
you know, like he was just so inside of him.
You should know, it's interesting you're saying that. No, it's not a joke, because I was working all afternoon yesterday. It took me a very long time. My upcoming Owl Shear. And shame is akin to murder, and there are many sources about it, and it's not a joke. What you just said is not a joke. Shaming someone is akin to murder. And Rav Daniel Feldman, in one of his books, The Right and the Good, or The Just and the Good, has a whole chapter with many, many sources. Rishonim, Achronim, Torah sources that talk about this idea. Yeah, you could say it out loud. Everyone else is saying their opinions. Go ahead.
I have personal issues with this topic, and I've discussed this in other in chinuch shiurs, because I feel that, especially in the type of community that we live in, that the standards are set higher, and that we, in some ways, sustain these standards by, and I feel terrible even saying it, because Baruch Hashem, I can buy my children's shoes, so the people that can't afford it, they get Venetini's in the Chesed organization, because that's what our standards are.
Okay, so then that's what our standards are.
But it,
okay,
it
so that's what our standards
it
are.
It makes it that everyone that needs to have these kind of things, and the coats and everything, it just...
Okay, that's a different issue.
Right, but
that's why I said the mother doesn't necessarily need to buy the brand name, but she wants to feel like a mensch. That's a different issue. Okay. Interestingly, in this week's Parsha, the last thing I read to you is, at times a person does not feel solely dependent on Hashem for sustenance. He relies on his own capabilities heavily and prowess. If a person's eyes are not looking to Hashem, einechol, then the other half of the statements is also not going to come true. First, you need to be looking to God. Otherwise, it doesn't work out so well for him. It's this week's parsha, okay? You could also say everyone looks to God. No, it's not. He shamar lecha pen tishkach es Hashem elokecha levil tishmar mitzvosav u'mishpatav v'chukosav v'shar nochi mitzav chayam pen tochal v'sovata. Listen to this. Pen tochal v'sovata. Lest you even be satiated. Uvat, listen, excuse me, you just spoke about the standards. Listen to the Torah Lashon. You know what someone said in yesterday's parashah? It's like, it sounds like we're in the five towns. I'm in Parachas of Devarim. Pen tochal v'savata, uvatim tovim tivne v'yashavta. You eat, you're satiated, there's a plethora of food. You sit in nice houses, you build nice houses, and you dwell in them. Uvekarcha v'tzoncha yirbiyun, your cattle and flocks increase. Today you could say your cars increase. V'kesev v'zahav yirbalach, and your silver and your gold increases. V'chol asher lecha yirbe. You think it's only a problem today? This is in the Torah. We're talking about antiquity, ancient times, from before Briyas Ha'olam. Histaka bel reis ovar ama. V'ram levavacha. It's at that point where there's no more ein echol elecha yisabeiru, and therefore there's no va'aton asen lemesachem b'ito, because we forget who is the provider. Listen to what the Torah just said. I'm going to repeat it without interrupting the psukim. Pen tocha v'savata, uvatim tovim tivne, v'yashavta, uvekarcha v'tzoncha yirbiun, v'kesav v'zav yirbelach, v'chal asher lecha yirbe, v'ram, the end result is, v'ram levavecha, v'shachachta es Hashem elokecha. The end result of too much gashmis, I'm quoting from Devarim, this week's parasha. The end result of too much gashmis, Moshe Rabbeinu prophesizes, V'ram levavecha, v'shachachta as Hashem elokecha, ha-motziach ha-meretz Yitzrayim, base of Adam, who took you through this awesome desert with snakes and scorpions, who brought you water from a rock, who fed you man in the desert. What is the point of bringing up man? You think Hashem can't provide? You think it's not He who's increasing your flocks and your cattle and your houses and your gold and your silver and your cars and your housekeepers and your multiple locations? The same God brought mayim mitzur ha-chalamish. He brought you water from flint. Hama'achil chaman b'midbar. He is the one who gave you man in the desert. Va'amarta b'vavacha, and you forget that. Kochi va'otzem yadi. What did I last read to you? At time a person does not feel solely dependent on Hashem for sustenance. It's parches. But relies heavily on his own capabilities and prowess. V'ram levavacha. Va'amarta b'vavacha. Kochi va'otzem yadi. Me. Elvavcha, my heart, kochi, my power, otzem yadi, the strength of mayan, asali, made for me, asachayel, that you know why I have so much? because I'm so great and we forgot the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not up to me to judge the person who is getting the town handouts. The Rabbanim can decide how we distribute, and I'm sure all of these tzedakah funds, I hope, have rabbinic counsel in how we distribute. It's not up to me to judge. I have my own problems. What are my own problems? Kesef Zad Yerbiun Lach V'Ram V'Vavecha V'Shechachta Hashem Al-Kachach. Obviously, someone brought this up. Who brought this up? Hishtadlis is required of us. Who touched upon this? And I said, I'm going to discuss it. Okay. Sitting next to Lauren. What's her name?
Me? Nomi Sterker.
Nomi?
Yeah.
Okay, Nomi. You brought up Hishtadlis, right? Obviously, Hishtadlis is required of us. However, with the tremendous effort, time, and work we invest in earning a livelihood, we have to remain cognizant that it's really all from Hashem. So, you know, there's a beautiful book. Do you know the children's book called A Thread of Kindness? It's so beautiful. You should all go get it. The Judaica stores might have it. It's called A Thread of Kindness, either for your children or your grandchildren or your Talmidim or Talmidos. It's beautiful. It's about a family that's very, very poor. I don't know, I could look up at home, Billy Nader, I'm bringing it next week and show you if I don't. It's a Jewish book. It's beautiful, the illustrations are beautiful, the story is so beautiful. It's about a Jewish, and I think this is an important way to sort of start to summarize our class. A Jewish family was very poor. One day Eliyahu HaNavi showed up at their house, and he left them with a treasure chest of gold. And he said he could only have it for 5 years. And he gave them the treasure chest of gold, and they gave out money, and they made simchas. They helped people buy shoes. They gave out free loans. They helped people make simchas. They fed poor people. They were like so, so poor before, and they had all this wealth. At the end of 5 years, the father looks out into the garden, and Eliyahu HaNavi is back, and he says, I came to take back the treasure chest. So the man said, okay, my time's up. Please let me go consult with my wife. So he goes inside and he consults with his wife, and she says, okay, our time is up, but go tell him what we've been doing with the money. Tell him the people we bought shoes for, the people we supported, the simchas we made, the food we provided, and ask him if we can keep it based on this thread of kindness. And they go back and they tell you, Navi, he says, because of what you've been doing with it, spinning a thread of kindness, you can keep it. It's really the mice and not up to me to judge. One second. The pasuk says, Nason titeno va'al yera levavcha. When the pauper comes, my mitzvah is to give. I don't know if to ask him. Obviously, there are rabbanim. If a person is using the funds irresponsibly, and they're gambling, and they're buying expensive scotch, and the children don't have what to eat, okay. But ayera levavcha, shouldn't be hard. Nason titeno, you have to surely give him. And you open your hand. I don't remember the exact lashon of the pasuk. The Chovas HaLevavos explains, in reality, our entire livelihood only comes from Hashem. Because it's all from Hashem, it's not mine. I'm a, what's the word? Agent. You know, when something, what?
Agent.
An agent. I was going to say guarantor, but that's probably not the right word. Agent is a better word. It passes through me. The challenges and nisyonos man is faced with in the workplace are ways of Hashem's giving him the opportunity to overcome. The purpose of our hishtadlus is to be omeid b'nisayon. Beautiful vignette to end. Working harder than necessary or working more than necessary is akin to the fellow on the train pushing the seat in front of him. Frustrated, the person in the seat that's being pushed says to the guy behind him, sir, why are you pushing my seat? Well, I'm very late for an important, I am very late for an important appointment. I want to do all I can to assist the train, so I'm pushing your seat. It doesn't even answer, it's rhetorical. Do we feel just as ridiculous as the fellow stands when we work harder than is necessary, perhaps, to get more funds than the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give us? Do we really think we can help the train arrive faster by pushing harder? A lot of food for thought. The pun is very much intended. I thought we would finish the chapter. I was prepared through the end of the chapter. Ladies, Messrs. Tovus, Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue next week. And have a good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you.